Hi, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I am Chris Lucian, and this is Austin Chadwick, and we're going to talk today about kindness, consideration, and respect. Austin, how do you feel about kindness, consideration, and respect?
I think it's a terrible idea. You should never do it. Yeah, so for me, this is just, and I think why we're talking about it before several other things, because we're going to be talking about learning time, psychological safety, retrospectives, and many other, you know, awesome organizational things. But really, this is the foundation to have a lot of greatness and innovation in your organization. I mean, because without it, you know, to have good innovation, you need, you know, psychological safety, which we'll talk more about later, but people need to be expressing ideas openly and feel safe. And if you're not doing that in a kind way, in a way that's considerate and being thoughtful of other people and how they're receiving that feedback, and if you're not being respectful, it's going to kill innovation really quickly. So that's kind of what jumps out to me. And I think you kind of had a story along with this, if you want to share with that, Chris.
Yeah. So I think you're thinking about the story from one of my other companies. In the respect to kindness, consideration, respect, I've been in environments where, you know, like the environment I'm in right now, which has kindness, consideration, respect as kind of a prime way of moving forward. I've been in kind of the opposite, right? And so there have just been things where, you know, people flipping the bird to other people in the hallway and things like that. So I've seen kind of both sides of how it can be. And I've also witnessed firsthand that within the absence of kindness, consideration, and respect, even if people are candid with their feedback to each other, it ends up destroying the value of that candid communication. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, examples of this is feedback in an environment at one of my previous companies where people were praised and compared to each other based on the teams that they were on, and candid feedback about how their performance could be different, right? But it only came off as obnoxious aggression, right? And mm-hmm. so that might be a whole other discussion about radical candor later on. But the interesting thing is I think that the kindness, consideration, and respect is ultimately a basis to all of it, because without it, I think you won't be able to get to the point where you're iterating on your process well, because it's always open. If it's not a cultural norm, everybody is always open to the ability to shut each other down through some sort of unkind or inconsiderate or disrespectful act.
Sure.
And that's like the source of a lot of these interpersonal conflicts. And so, and on the other side of it, with the presence of kindness, consideration, and respect, when just before mob programming emerged, the universal working agreement of kindness, consideration, and respect was established for the team. And after months of working in a team that we agreed we will treat each other with kindness, consideration, and respect, only after months of working that way did mob programming emerge. And so I think some of the best things that we've done can be traced back to having a basis of kindness, consideration, and respect. And so I think, you know, a lot of people talk about valuing candor above all else. And I think that's a little bit of divergence from where iteration can really shine, mm-hmm. because you need free-flowing feedback for iteration to really take hold and make a good thing emerge.
Yeah.
And so I think the number one way to shut down that feedback is to be inconsiderate, disrespectful, or unkind to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that's really hard, right? And I think most people out there have experienced what happens when it's not there, right? Is that you see organizations and people start to fracture, right?
Yeah.
And then you start having people, I won't talk to that person, or I won't. Yeah. And then what happens then? The ideas that would have flowed between those two people is broken down, you know? Yeah. And that's where something like mob programming really accentuates any interpersonal problems where people are lacking this. So I had an idea of how to like introduce this or get this going if this is a problem with where you're at. But I'd be interested in your ideas as well.
Sure.
I don't know. One thing is just if it's been a problem lately is maybe to, you know, host a retrospective and call it out. And then, you know, talk about it as a group and see if people, other people want to work this way, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised that people don't. More than likely, it's a habit problem where, you know, yes, I want to be kind to other people, but then when I start disagreeing, then I just, you know, I start getting angry and I don't know how to handle that well. And so one thing that can help is, hey, we've talked about as a group, we want to work this way. Now let's make a working agreement around it, hopefully voted up working agreement. And then we can help. We all, what it does is unifies us. We all know we're working on it. We're not going to be perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can help each other grow in that area by, you know, calling each other out in the kindest way possible, but that we've all agreed to it means that it's okay to talk about it and say, you know, and then also to, I think a great way to get going is also confess to others when I haven't been kind, considerate, respectful, you know. Mm-hmm. So a problem for me often is if I start disagreeing and or just having an exchange of ideas, I start focusing only on what's going on intellectually. So because I'm thinking deeply about what's going on, that I can grow cold, right? And so to catch myself when I do that and come back and say, you know, I'm sorry, I kind of delivered that coldly. I'm going to try to do that better. That can really help open the door to, like, you know, people are really trying and we can give it another go and still exchange ideas. Did you have any other ways to kind of introduce this or help teams, organizations grow?
I think that everything you just said is true, and I think does need to, in a bigger organization, needs to follow the diffusion of innovation, right?
Right.
Okay. And so having the early adopters there that believe in those concepts is the number one most important thing, sure. Right? Because if the composition of your team are comprised of people that think that that's not the way to go, then you're less likely to find success in those actions, right?
Sure.
And so you know, having the ability to self-organize into a team that then can practice this, can then show to the rest of the organization, like, hey, this is really working over here and it's working for us. Maybe other people want to adopt it. And then you get the early majority, right? But the whole idea is to cross the chasm. And so while it might exist in a certain ecosystem, the goal would be to prove it out and then make it grow and grow and grow, right?
Sure.
And you know, going back to the topic on the set your change model, as soon as there's more disruption into the teams that are doing this, then that can fall apart pretty easily. And so finding ways to climb that ladder faster is important. And that's kind of what I'm bringing back to that topic is if you have a great idea about how to move forward and bring kindness, consideration, and respect into it, and verbalize it in front of everyone, then one way is to support that, maybe as a leader, is to make an environment where people can organize around the ways that they want to work and then allow those things, systems, to grow out to other groups.
Yeah, right? Definitely. And I think one anti-pattern that I've seen is if you start preaching kindness, consideration, respect, and don't also start talking about, you know, feedback or radical candor or something like that, it'll be interpreted as, oh, well, I need to be nice, so I'm not going to share my idea that might hurt someone's feelings, right? You know, and so it's one of those both and things instead of either or.
Yeah.
And so that needs to be very clear. Like, if you really do respect someone, you're not going to withhold information that could, you know, hurt the team or hurt them, right? You want to share that, but you want to share it in a kind and respectful and gentle way. You know?
And you do need both. And in thinking about that, you also want to consider that acting with the assumption that you have psychological safety, kind of jumping forward in the topic a little bit, is important. But if you find that you can't, I think the way that you build back up to psychological safety, if you've tried it and it doesn't work, is you start with kindness, consideration, and respect, rather than continuing down the path of that honest feedback. Because from what I've seen, in environments with many people interacting, the paths at previous companies that I've seen go down the path of maybe obnoxious aggression in or at least candor without any respect for the person you're talking to, that has always resulted in bad relationships that seem to be completely non-recoverable. Yeah. And so I would lean a little bit heavier on the kindness, consideration, respect, even if it goes to the point where you maybe can't give feedback, but you're still kind, considerate, and respectful to people. And because the next step is to work on your relationship a little bit more so that you can deliver that feedback.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe it's easier to get there if you go through the path of understanding the environment while being kind, considerate, and respectful, than it is for just voicing your opinions. Like I said in the last video, about in the Satir change model, if you go in and join the new team and then start trying to change everything, you'll just be rejected immediately. And so I think the starting point really for me is kindness, consideration, and respect. And then and then moving toward things like vulnerability, trust, appreciation, and then getting to psychological safety.
No, look, that's what's up next. Coming up next, there's vulnerability, trust, appreciation, psychological safety. So many good things to come. And I think the one last thing I'll add before we close is an analogy that helped me that came to mind when you were talking about that. And maybe it's a little too mathematical, but like emotionally, people in one way or another often have this kind of like change in the bucket. I've heard someone refer to it. So when you are kind, considerate, and respectful, you're putting change in the bucket so that later the relationship can take some feedback and some exchange of ideas. Or if you don't have that, they may not even listen to what you say because you don't have that established, right? Yeah, and so I think it's seen as an investment that's a long-term investment, not just because you care about the person in general, but also a long-term investment in the ability to innovate in your organization, is that you need to invest in kindness, consideration, respect in the relationships around you and really care about people, not just say the word and, you know, half-heartedly try, but really care about people and really invest in them. And then that'll open the door for a lot of great things.
And like I say with the diffusion of innovation theory, if you get all the right people in the right place and so that they can act that way, then you can let it grow. If you put the wrong people in the right place, then the exact opposite will happen. And so, you know, if this is something that you want to grow in your organization, you probably want to remove every barricade possible to making this go forward.
Yeah, right on.
All right.
Well, with that, we'll close it out. But we'd love your feedback and comments on Twitter and YouTube. And other than that, have a good one, guys.
Like and subscribe.